Sometimes I marvel at the way God puts things together on a Sunday morning, but I've appreciated the service thus far. Been thinking about this message for quite some time and just never felt like I had it put together. Not that I feel that way this morning either. But I appreciated the devotional meditation. You know, that man's attitude about his job made a lot of difference. I'm not preaching about positive thinking at all. But God tells us a lot in the scriptures about attitudes. And that's what we want to think about this morning. For a springboard for the message this morning, I'd like you to go with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at the Beatitudes, and then go from there. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. If we want to see our rewards, and if we want to receive our rewards in heaven, this must be the attitudes in our heart. And as we think about attitudes this morning, they are somewhat our standard of conduct. They are the standard that God has given to us in life. In these few verses, in a nutshell, there's a lot there for you and I to think about. It is the contrast between God's values and man's values. It is the contrast, it brings out the hypocritical person. You know, I want to very shortly show you two individuals in the Bible who were men of God, but who had an attitude problem. Each beatitude here tells us how to be blessed, how to receive the blessings of God. Are your attitudes a carbon copy of the world's selfishness, pride, and lust for power? Or do they reflect the humility and the self-sacrificing life that God is calling for you and I to live? But he says, rejoice. These beatitudes take our eyes off of the values of the world and put them where they belong. Takes them off of the earthly reward. Dear ones, this morning, I trust that this is a circuit board in each of our hearts that guides and directs us. Having a right attitude, having a godly attitude, allowing this to be the guide of our life. A dictionary definition of attitude is a mental position with regard to a fact or state, a feeling of our emotion toward a fact or state, and the position of an aircraft or spacecraft in relation to a reference point. When we evaluate someone, we frequently note whether the individual has a good attitude or a bad attitude. They're both going to show. I want to tell you this story, a very familiar story of Jonah and the attitude that he had. Jonah was a man who was called by God to fulfill a mission. He calls Jonah to perform a work for him. But Jonah seemed to have an attitude about it. A wrong attitude, a bad attitude. Instead of yielding to God and doing what God had asked him to do, Jonah boards a ship and he tries to hide from God. He flees to Tarshish. His attitude then leads to disobedience. A number of weeks ago, I preached a message on the power of our speech. The attitude of our heart is going to make the difference of what comes out of us in words and actions. We all know what follows with Jonah. They get out into the sea, and the sea is rough. And finally, Jonah tells the men, they throw things overboard. He said, throw me overboard. He goes, I am your problem. He was called to go to a very wicked city, one who needed the Lord, one who couldn't tell the difference between their right hand and their left hand, the Bible says. So they throw him overboard and brings calmness to the sea. Maybe sometimes when we fail to do what God is asking us, he may have to take us through life, experiences of life that are not always very pleasant. But Jonah 4 brings out Jonah's pitiful attitude. After Nineveh repented, what did he do? He went outside the city and sat under that gourd, there to pity himself. When God even asked him, Noah, Jonah, do you do well to be angry? I don't know if we read anywhere that Jonah repented of that attitude that he had. But what about you and I? Another man in the Bible that seemed to have an attitude problem was Moses. Even though he was the meekest man on earth. But there was one time when Moses failed. When he struck the rock and he was told to only speak to the rock. James gives us a formula to help us keep our attitudes in check. When he says, turn with me to James chapter 1. And I believe that we need to keep a daily attitude, a daily check on our attitudes. In James chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's a formula that God wants us to follow. God wants us to be quick and ready to hear, a little slower to speak. Being slow to wrath will many times save us a lot of trouble. It's learning to restrain our tempers, ready to restrain our attitudes. Therefore, ready to restrain our tempers brings victory over the wrong attitude coming out. Those that allow anger to come forth will bring much trouble. Hastiness, rashness. When Moses called them rebels, ye rebels. Let's turn to a few scriptures in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Proverbs 29, verse 20. amazed at how many Bible verses speak to this. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. There's one in Ecclesiastes 5, 2. We won't turn to that one. Do not be rash. Talks about not being rash with our mouth. And let not our heart utter anything hasty before God, for God is in heaven and we are on earth. Therefore, let our words be few. Words fitly spoken, Proverbs tells us, are as apples of gold. You know, God understands the changes demanded of us by our calling. Our brother read from John 15, but if we are connected with the vine, we can control, by the power of God, our attitudes, and our words. Abraham is a prime example of a correct relationship with God. He did not just believe some things from God or just ideas he agreed with, but he believed everything. When God said go, he went. When God said do and say, he done. So in whatever difficult situation you find yourself today that you may be facing, God alone knows the need of every heart here today. And everywhere else upon the face of the earth, among his people, God knows what you are facing. Whether we feel we are being ill-treated, whether we feel we're being treated unfairly, God wants us to have a right attitude. Regardless, your circumstances of life does not have to control your attitude about your situation in life. As we looked at the example of these two individuals in the Bible, I trust it may be a help to us. Did Jonah repent? We don't know if he did or not. Will attitudes keep us out of heaven? Will wrong attitudes keep us out of heaven? Yes. If your attitude toward... What is your attitude toward sin? What is your attitude toward sin? If you do not see it as wrong and you fail, you probably will fail if you don't see it as sin. We need to see it as God sees it. What is your attitude toward this, any sin that you may be tempted with? Right attitudes are of utmost importance. You take Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes and line them up there. God tells us to love our enemies, and we'll look at a little more of that later, but God tells us to treat them kindly. God tells us to be peacemakers and the whole long list. I trust we can only have that this morning if we are connected to the vine. Let's stay connected to the vine. We too can allow our human nature to rule us through a flawed attitude, giving into rebellion, giving into anger and harshness of thought and action. Attitudes, our attitude towards sin can block us from the blessings of God. Our attitude toward lust, toward gluttony, toward greed, toward sloth, slothfulness, toward wrath, and then the list could go on. Toward pride, toward covetousness, can make all the difference whether we're living in victory or not. The difference that is made is when we're connected to the vine and we allow the fruits, we allow the attitudes that God lays out in Matthew 5. I want to now look at the mind of Christ. We can possess those attitudes when we have the mind of Christ. Go with me to Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 11, first of all, and I have several points under this. It speaks about God's ways and God's thoughts there. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 11, he says here, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I'm going to leave off there. Go with me now yet to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Look at Romans 15, verse 5. "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus." Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Maybe we ought to read all five verses there. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We become a new creature in Christ. We have a different mindset. We have the mind of Christ. Number one, having the mind of Christ means knowing and understanding the Scriptures. We can only have the right attitudes as we know and understand the mind of Christ. And we can only have the mind of Christ as we know and understand the Scriptures. Then in faith, we need to apply His truth as we depend on the indwelling Spirit. The need is to think with the same kind of viewpoint as God has. To look at it as God looks at it. To look at sin as God looks at it, it's then that we can only have the right attitude toward those things. If you're not having victory over sin this morning, or in any time of your life, it's because we don't have the right attitudes. But we receive this power by possessing the mind of Christ. The viewpoint is to possess the same kind of attitudes toward life and one another, as the mind of Christ does. We need to have the mind of Christ to think with His values, to possess the vision that Christ has, and to allow that to change our attitudes within us, which in turn will change our actions and our pursuits in life. Go with me to 1 Peter 3:8. First Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." That will be the case when we have the mind of Christ. Do we have the mind of Christ this morning? There's a number of scriptures we could turn to in relation to all of this. But Acts 1:14 talks about having these all with one mind. And day by day continuing, Acts 2:46, with one mind. I'm going to turn to Acts. We can jump through a number of those scriptures because they're very close together. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Chapter 2, verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. Why? They were possessing the mind of Christ. There's a number of scriptures one could turn to. Do you possess the mind of Christ? Do you see God? Do you see things through God's eyes, through the value that God puts upon those things? Secondly, I believe that having the mind of Christ means that we are going to means thinking with the Word, and to think with the Word, we're going to have to feed on the Word. We're going to have to know the Scriptures, and we're going to seek understanding of the Scriptures. To have the mind of Christ means to think with the Word of God, to live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, which is the Scriptures. To bring our thoughts and our actions into harmony with God, with God's viewpoint, by applying God's thoughts in everything we do and in everything that happens to us. Even in the circumstances of your life that are not very pleasant. Did Paul always have an easy road? No, he had a hard road sometimes. It was a sacrificing service. To experience God and the joys of his plan and purpose for man. Man must know his word. Do you know the word of God today? Do you know the word of God this morning? You know, the devil even sought to drag Jesus down. He tempted him 3 times. In the same 3 areas that he tempted Eve, in the same 3 areas that he's tempting you and I today. Jesus not only countered each time with Scripture, but he quoted Scripture to show how vital God's whole counsel is to our ability to handle temptations and sin. Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God." He was using the word of God to tempt him. And many times Satan comes in that way. Third point, to possess the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ means a regular renewal in the word of God. And it's the only way that we're going to possess the right attitudes to all situations in life. Is to be renewed in the Word of God every day of our life. To receive strength. Romans 12:2 talks about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. And that you may be renewed in the mind of your spirit, Ephesians 4:23. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 talks about the weapons of warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not our flesh, and they're not carnal, but they're powerful. From the Word of God. How can you expect to face temptation if you're not daily feeding on the Word of God? I find that when I don't have devotions, there's some weak points throughout the day. We need to be filled with the power of this book. The power of the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Peter 1:13, says, "Then gird up yourselves." Gird up your minds for action. Do we have the spiritual armor on? Are we ready for action when we face the day? Face the enemy of our soul? Is it too powerful for us? In the fourth place, having the mind of Christ means possessing an attitude of joy. An attitude of joy. Can we rejoice? Or as soon as we have a dark day, we're dark and gloomy and we're in the dumps. It means having the attitude of possessing an attitude of joy. We develop an attitude of joy through biblical vision for and submission to the calling and purpose of God. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There's others I'd like to turn to. I'm going to leave. Let's turn yet to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Very familiar verse. I think we need to turn to this one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is one of my favorite verses in my youth. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. As you think about that verse, we see again an emphasis on our mind and our attitudes. They can be kept free from bitterness. They can be kept free from blame. They can be kept free from self-pity, as we saw in the life of Jonah, and hopeless permission. If we cast our cares on the Lord and trust His sovereignty by getting rid of the stuff that chokes out God's viewpoint, we create space for hope and joy in our life. Dear ones, we have the power. We're not blaming people for our circumstances of life. We're not blaming people for the failure we had in our life. But we take full responsibility for it. In the fifth place, having the mind of Christ means an attitude of humility. An attitude of humility expresses itself in a servant living, a sacrificing life. And I believe that humility prepares the way for a sacrificial love which puts the needs of others above ourselves. It puts the needs of others ahead of us. We're ready to drop what we're doing and go to lift a brother up or a sister up. And you'll receive a great blessing. And we can see the importance of other individuals' needs ahead of our own. Can we live by that rule? Humility is never self. It is a recognition of who we are by God's grace, and leads to the use of our abilities in loving service. Humility allows us to take the position of John 13. Go with me to John 13. Where you have the communion. I'm not going to take time to read that. You know what it is. Where we are ready to stoop and wash another's feet. And I trust that we grasp that meaning at the time of communion. When we wash one another's feet. In the sixth place, having the mind of Christ means an attitude of loving family affection. Be devoted. Romans tells us to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Are we that devoted to each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord? In the family unit, and in the church, as is taught in the home, it'll be seen in the church. We can't expect the church to take the responsibility of teaching that to our families when we're not teaching it at home. As brethren in Christ, God wants us to become more and more devoted to one another so that we place the needs of others above ourselves. Romans 12:10 means that we are to love one another with a family affection as brothers in Christ, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, we cannot impart to others what we don't have ourselves. What we ourselves do not possess, we cannot impart to others. Our relationship with one another always manifests the reality of our life with the Lord, and the condition of our thinking and the condition of our attitudes. What difference is it making in my life and the way I think and the way I believe? You know, the world looks at our lives and they see attitudes. Maybe sometimes it shouldn't be there. I trust that God will help us to have right attitudes. I trust that God will help us to stay connected to the vine, but we must make that choice so that we can produce the right attitudes. For the Christian, however, we're not just talking about positive thinking this morning. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an attitude that comes from a heart that is focused on God and that has their trust and their confidence in Him. Is that you and I this morning? I'm going to leave it at that. Probably given you enough to think about, because you know the mercies of God calls us to bless our enemies contrary to human nature. He calls us to treat them kindly, to do good to them, to heap coals of fire, contrary to human nature. And I believe this morning that by the power of God, if we yield ourselves to Him, He will help us to find that victory. May God help each of us to have attitudes that will show to the world that living for Christ is worth it all. Shall we pray?